This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The details of Europe's natural gas problems are pretty well chewed over by now, right? Russia cut back on the amount of gas it was delivering to the continent because President Putin could, it seems. And then he stopped deliveries through one pipeline altogether. And then last week, four holes were blown, it seems, in that pipeline, with the resultant release of gas into the atmosphere and the end of any real hope for deliveries resuming. Not what Europe wanted to hear, I would guess, especially with winter approaching. But, you know, pipelines aren't the only way to get gas to places that don't have their own supply. You can also move liquefied natural gas by tanker to, you know, Europe, say, from the United States, say, where we got a whole lot of this stuff. But as Marketplace's Andy Euler reports, shipping natural gas by sea comes with a whole lot of bottlenecks of its own.
It's not just a matter of getting a hold of some ships and filling them up with liquid gas.
An LNG carrier is very specific to carry methane, which has been reduced to its freezing point and turns to a liquid.
Brad Williams is president of Spitfire Energy Advisors in Houston.
And the reason you do that is the volume decreases by 600 times.
So back of the envelope, one LNG tanker can carry enough gas for almost 50,000 U.S. homes for a year. And it has to be a tanker built for LNG. Trouble is, says Anna Mikulska at Rice University,
there is limited numbers of LNG tankers globally, so they are in generally in short supply, and they will be, highly valued, of course.
There are about 700 LNG tankers available for transport worldwide, and it takes about 2.5 years to build a new one. So that's the first bottleneck, but it's certainly not the last.
The main supply bottleneck is actually infrastructure.
Matteo Ilardo is an analyst at the consultancy Rain.
Not necessarily shipping from producer to consumer, but actually the infrastructures for exporters to be able to liquefy the gas and ship it. And then the import infrastructures of buyers.
In other words, you need export infrastructure to cool the gas and get it onto a ship. And at the other end, you need import infrastructure to turn that liquid gas into gas. And the second bottleneck is there are only so many of those facilities in operation right now. And building a new one, according to Brad Williams at Spitfire Energy, is going to cost energy companies quite a bit more than they may have planned for a few years ago.
They're realizing that the price quote they got to build their facility 3 years or even 2 years ago, as they refresh those engineering contracts, those prices have gone up 25, 30, 35%. Depending on the facility.
And even if they can afford it, building things like these takes time.
Let's say it takes 6 months to get the financing and 30 months to build the facility. You know, that's a full 3 years before you actually receive any LNG. And that's predicated on lining up and getting the ships to deliver that LNG.
And once you do, investors expect the facility to make money for decades. Some European countries are trying a cheaper solution for now. Again, Matteo Ilardo at Rain.
Installing floating LNG terminals is a short, semi-short-term solution to increase import capacity.
Germany is slated to bring a few of those online by the end of the year, along with the Netherlands and Italy. Ilardo says that will help accommodate the high demand for LNG in Europe now that Russia isn't sending any gas. And he says that kind of short-term gas infrastructure has another attractive quality.
They can be decommissioned. There's no issue on investing on permanent structures that will remain there. There's limited interest in that.
Limited interest because countries in Europe want to be done with fossil fuel sooner than the 20 or 30 year lifespan of an onshore terminal. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.